Blog Talk Radio.
Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, March 15th. Today we have Angel Williams, manicurist, on the phone with us. But before we speak with Angel, Denise has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. If you live in the Atlanta area, join makeup artist Travis Pates on Sunday, March 22nd at North Costco for his masterclass, Corrective Beauty Techniques. Again, it takes place Sunday, March 22nd from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And from 10 to 1 p.m., Travis will demonstrate how to overcome challenges associated with both younger and more mature skin, including acne, dark circles, discoloration, hyperpigmentation, and redness. You all will break for a 30-minute lunch. And then from 1:30 to 4:30, you will use what you learn on your fellow classmates. The class fee for this class is $200. A deposit of $100 will reserve your spot, and that's non-refundable. This class comes with a kit, including Cinema Secrets Foundation Palette and a tattoo to neutralize the wheel. For more information on the class, you can call 404-874-7511. Again, it's 404-874-7511. The class size is limited, so call today if you really want to take that class. Okay, and then also, mark your calendars. Mark your calendars for the NAHA 2015 finalist announcement. That's the North American Hairstyling Awards. Finalists in all 14 categories will be announced through a short video on PBA's Facebook page. Make sure to like the page to see the video and stay connected with everything NAHA using hashtag NAHA2015. Again, that's hashtag NAHA2015. And PBA, of course, is the Professional Beauty Association. And finally, editorial manicuring, from behind the table to behind the scenes. Learn everything you need to know about manicuring on an editorial shoot, from set etiquette to kit building and much more. For more information, you can email angelnailsit@gmail.com. Again, that's angelnailsit@gmail.com. This class takes place Sunday, May 17th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at M. Wild Studio in New York. That's it.
Right, and who's teaching that class?
Angel Williams.
Just want to remind everyone, if you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation tonight by calling 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Be sure to press the option. Welcome to the show, Angel.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's just jump right into the conversation. Oh, and by the way, everyone, we will be tweeting tonight as the conversation goes on Twitter. So please use the hashtag Beauty Lounge to follow the conversation. Why don't we start the conversation off, Angel, by you just introducing yourself and telling our listening audience where you're from, what inspired you to become a nail what's the proper word, the proper title you want? Manicurist, nail stylist, nail tech?
I call myself a manicurist because I care for the nail first. So I call myself a manicurist at all times.
Gotcha. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So what inspired you to be a manicurist? Include all of that in your intro.
Well, my name is Angel Williams. I am here. I'm a freelance manicurist in New York City. I'm originally from Virginia. I think I got into nails really kind of accidentally. It wasn't because I grew up and I really had this passion for nails. I got invited to this open house. They were talking about really honestly how much money you can make, and my ears perked up. And I joined the school, and we were doing pedicures like within the first week, and I really liked it. I really did. So it started from there, and I knew early on, business-wise, I wanted to concentrate on natural nails. I liked everything about helping someone's nail grow. I love color. I really like doing pedicures. So when I kind of ventured out to trying to own my own business, I knew that that was the route that I was going to go in the early stages of my career.
Gotcha. How long were you in Virginia before you went to New York?
Well, I'm a native of Virginia. I've been in New York for maybe 2.5 years, and probably took a year before the two, kind of going between back and forth when I made the decision that I wanted to freelance.
Gotcha. So what part of Virginia are you from?
Richmond.
Richmond, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go back. This wasn't one of my questions, but now I want to hear from you. So what's the difference in the titles, manicurist, nail technician? What's the difference?
I think it's just a personal preference. For me, manicurist for me means the care of the nail. Nail stylist, it would be the different variations of what you do.
Gotcha.
From in different settings, I guess, if you would call yourself a nail stylist, because that can be just a range of everything. I've never liked nail technician because I don't like the word technician. It makes me think of a mechanic or something.
Well, see, that's what it says on my nail license, nail technician.
Look, we can go deep into that. I think all that stuff is kind of interesting. But I like either manicurist or nail stylist for me personally.
Gotcha. So you've been in New York for 2 years, but you've been doing nails for how long?
I have been doing nails for 15 years.
15. Gotcha.
15.
So what are some of the differences that you've seen in those 15 years when it comes to, you know, nail technology, like products, new innovations? What are some of the things that you've noticed?
Just the innovation of nail products, things that you really can tailor to your client. Being if you're in the salon, you have salon clients. It's not just liquid and powder anymore. You have liquid and powder, quote unquote, acrylics. You have gel. You have gel polish. You have shellac. You have temporary things. Say you were a bride, you want to get. You're getting married. Back in the day, people would put a full set of nails on you. Now, that might not be your thing, but that's what you did for that day. Well, you no longer have to do that. There's things we can just, you know, temporary, put it on, take it off. You don't have to have so much of a commitment anymore. So the innovation of products to kind of tailor to the client, I see a lot of that happening. Nail wraps, you know, you nail fashion. So just the innovation for customization of things.
Mm-hmm. And then also you see things like, you know, now even with the gel, how popular gel polish is, now you see things now where you can use polish where you don't need to use the lamp, you know what I mean, any longer. I don't know if some people are complained or are afraid of, you know, any type of damage that having your hands to those lamps would cause. So now you're seeing policies where, you know, you get your 14-day, 10 or 14-day wear, where you're just polish and go, and you're not even having to sit under, you know, have your hands under the lamp anymore. So it's a lot of things like that as well that I'm noticing.
Yeah, that again, to customize, because I was a person, I like gel polish, I like shellac, but after about 5 days, I don't want the color on anymore. So I didn't necessarily, I don't want the commitment, but I want the staying power. So, again, the innovation needs to cater to those, like a person like me, like that.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. You said you'd like to, you're big on natural nails. When it comes to your gel polish, your shellac, and things like that, to me that doesn't sound like something, that doesn't sound like it's something for the natural nail. And when I say that, I just mean, you know how people say, okay, this is my natural nail, but did she put gel on, you know, gel polish on my natural nail? Do you have a lot of clients, natural nail clients, who want the gel polish?
Spectrum of my industry whatsoever. I everything is about application and removal. You know, because if things aren't removed properly, people will go, oh, gosh, that, like, ruined my nails. But if you really dig deep and like, well, how'd you take it off? Well, I kind of picked it off. I'm like, well, that's not how you remove it. I mean, you can even kind of apply it to hair. You can get extensions all day. It's how it's put in and it's how it's taken out. When you take that hair off or out, your hair should still be intact. Same thing with nails. If you put on a liquid and powder, if you put on a traditional gel, and if you put on a gel polish, it's how it's applied, how your natural nail is treated when it's applied, and how it's removed. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times things have gotten a little crazy because things aren't applied and removed properly, and then it gets a bad rap. So,
right.
Yeah, I promote natural nail in the care, but if you want a gel polish, well, let me, I'll explain the whole procedure to you so you know for yourself, and you, if you go out here and get it somewhere else, you know what to look for, and you know how your nails are supposed to be treated.
Right. Tell me a little bit about, in your bio it says you are a natural nail specialist. Tell me a little bit about what's involved in being a natural nail specialist. What's your focus? What's your concern?
Well, I call myself a natural nail specialist because I have this tagline when I say I'm caring for the skin and nails the way nature intended. Mm-hmm. I tend to use, I call them my rubs, scrubs, lotions, and potions, things that are naturally derived, free from harsh chemicals, and things that are just not good, because things that go in your nail can also be absorbed. Things that are around your cuticle can also be absorbed. So you should stick to things that are naturally derived. That is, you know, how I feel about the care of the nail. So, and even beyond the nail plate, the skin around the nail, the skin of the hand. So I think nature gives us a lot. I mean, your kitchen cabinet might have a lot of things that are just plain old olive oil is great for your nails.
Mm-hmm.
If you have staining from, you know, not using base coat, simple lemon, rubbing your hand, actually taking your fingernails and kind of rubbing it in a lemon,
mm-hmm,
will remove some of the nail stain. So that's my approach to nail care.
Gotcha. And so you also, I remember reading about you that you are, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but you are a green.
I didn't hear you. Say it again.
I said, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but I remember reading something that said you are a green manicurist.
Oh, same thing. Just even on set, even on set where that situation might not call, because, yeah, I'm not just performing on, you know, I'm not just dealing with natural nails. I might have to extend the nail, things of that.
Right.
Still, like my lotions and my cuticle oils and even little things that even help the model perform better is what I am known to having in my kit. Say it's super early in the morning, the call time is super early in the morning, I might, yeah, my lotion should not have lavender in it. We don't want to knock anybody to sleep. They should really have, like, a citrus aroma in it. That also helps the model execute her job. Mm. Well, so I there's a lot of aromatherapy. I might not say it, but I convey that message in my kit also when I'm on set.
Gotcha. So at what point, because I know you're represented by an agency, at what point did you decide you wanted to go the agency route?
I had been traveling between Virginia and New York for probably like a year.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that to kind of get the bigger jobs that I wanted, those clients tend to go through an agency. So in order to get those bigger jobs, I went out to find an agent. It was a little difficult at first because I always called it, I was area code discriminated against, because at the time my phone number still said 804.
Uh-huh.
So to kind of, you know, knock that out of the equation, because whenever I was meeting with someone, it was like, but are you in New York? And I'd have to say no. And so just to eliminate that process, because I was driven to do it, so to eliminate that, I went and got me a Google number, put the 646 in front of it, so to just eliminate that, because if this was something I wanted and they gave me a chance, if I needed to be there, I was going to be there. So for maybe a good 6 months when I did get my first agency, they did not know I did not live in New York yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what was that process like? I mean, from you to actually get signed with an agent?
After going through a couple of the processes, there was key things that I wanted to look for. The research, I wanted to see what type of clients that the artists on their roster were already getting. To see, you know, because there are certain jobs that I wanted. Yeah, I wanted to do ads and things of that nature. So when I did my research on the agencies, I wanted to know if those were the type of jobs that their artists were already doing. It was also kind of important to me that I didn't want to be on a roster where there was like 5 or 6 manicurists already on there.
Okay.
So it was little things like that, even going through the magazines to see which names of agencies from these artists were popping up. So I was just doing my research to finding the agency.
But what did you have to, I guess another part of my question is, what did you have to do to prepare for that? Like, I know you have, you know, you probably showed pictures. Were they looking for a certain amount of pictures? Were they looking for certain types of pictures? What were they looking for from you? Were they looking for a certain number of pictures, certain types of pictures in your book? Did you have to have certain types of jobs on your resume? What type of artist were they looking for?
You do have to start building your portfolio to approach an agent. Sometimes you get wrapped up, well, I think I have to have a lot of pictures, and often you don't have to have a lot. I think it's good to show a range. You need to show that you can do clean look, because when you think about it, your bigger jobs have clean look. You also need to show that you can execute some form of nail artistry, you need to show range of what you can do. You don't necessarily have to, I would not say out of my personal opinion, I don't think you need to have like 20 images. But you do need to have good quality of images, even if it's a four quality images. They need to look nice so they, so you can have a good, let me say. Yeah, I don't think the quantity has to be high, just the quality needs to be good. Because also part of their job is to get you good jobs. Because
right.
if you came in the door with 20 good images, what you need them for? I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It's a relationship with both. But, I would tell people don't get hung up in the number of the images. Just try to upgrade your images. Work with good people. Build your book. Network photographers. And there's ways. There's even ways to find good photographers.
Right, that's true. So true. What were your? Would you say there were any challenges when trying to find an agency?
Oh, I mean, yeah. There were challenges. There were lots of no's. But what also learning and experience, the no now might not necessarily be the no 6 months. Down the road.
Right.
Those things change over. So most challenges was like, you know, they were, you know, they might not have enough work for you. They might not say that. But, yeah, there was a lot of no's in the beginning, but then also a year later, that no could be a yes. So you have to be persistent, especially if it's one that you really want to be with, you be persistent. Or in worst case, they might not want to put you on the roster now, but maybe ask, can you be on an assistant list?
Right.
That no now might be a yes later.
Right. How long did it take you to find an agent?
Honestly, it really didn't take me that long. I've had a lot of angels on my journey. But when I went to switch, that was on my own. I did switch agency. And that was on my own, so that was a bit of a journey with going through the no's and things of that nature.
Gotcha.
So how did that work? Did you stay with your old agency until you found another one, or did you leave altogether and then, you know, went on the process of trying to find another?
I left the first one, and because I'm an artist that still tests, I still shoot. So even though you have an agent, the buck doesn't stop there. You still
right.
have to do work on your own. You still have to build your book on your own. So just networking out, just constantly networking, doing events and things of that nature. So I took a period off where I'm still shooting. I'm blessed enough that a lot of things that I shoot for are getting published somewhere, being in print or online. So
mm-hmm.
I'm always keeping my name fresh if I can, and then we're still trying to look for another one.
Right. Right. When an agency, not necessarily an agency, but you have agencies who are actually looking for people, you have, you have other jobs, you know, photographers, ad agencies that are looking for people, what would you say a manicurist would have to do to put themselves in position to be selected by agencies or by other employers such as producers or ad agencies?
Wait, I'm not understanding. So
I'm trying to figure out what makes a great manicurist, you know, someone who's in a position to get the job with people, you know, like ad agencies or producers, working on, big fashion, you know, fashion runway jobs, or even
mm-hmm.
being selected by an agency to be represented. You know, what type of manicurist can get those jobs? So what are the qualities in a manicurist, you know?
Most of the time, I guess first impressions are everything. You can get the opportunity, but what makes you keep getting opportunities is integrity, being on time, executing the job. Let me see. Yeah, being on time, having integrity, being professional, saying thank you, following up. I think those are the things that keep you working. A lot of part of it is networking. Whether you really think that's what you're doing or not, I could be on set, or a manager could be on set. You show up on time. You do your job. Take notice of. So it doesn't necessarily say on a call sheet that you have to do feet, but if you go and look at the styling, and see that there's open toe shoes, what does that say? I'm going to have to do some feet if there's like a peep toe shoe. So be aware of your surroundings and be in front of it versus somebody coming and say, oh, you're going to get that, you know, be on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You be friendly in the room, but don't get so lax where you're not doing your job.
Right.
And then you follow up with a thank you. And I think that will take you far. People know you show up on time and execute the job, mind your business, do what's asked of you, you'll be asked to come back. You get referred. A lot of what goes on in this is, you know, the turnover is always happening. That creative director on set might go to another, may have another job. She remembers you. They need a manicurist. You get referred.
Right. How do you feel blogging and social media has changed the landscape of the nail industry today? I mean, I know you said you've been a manicurist for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
I think. And then I've been a licensed manicurist for 16, I believe. The industry has totally changed. There was nothing like it is today when I first got licensed. And I'm sure, I don't know what year you first became licensed, but it's definitely different. How do you feel blogging and social media has played a part in how different the industry is today?
I'm a little twofold. I think it's positive because it has highlighted the industry, which is always a plus. I think in the very beginning, when it was growing with blogging, especially about nails, I think it got a little distorted in the beginning because blogging and bloggers that were just generally talking about their passion and loving nails, I think were seen as the pro of this thing.
Right.
So I think it got a little distorted, especially at that time when I was a salon owner, because, I mean, I'm the professional. I paid for the license, and I'm like, why aren't you asking me what the color trends are? You know what I mean? So I think
it got
a little distorted, but on the other side of it being a freak, it highlights the industry, and that can't be bad. But people like me that are behind the table and behind the scenes, as long as we still educate people, no matter what platform it is, you know, I think it's better. I think it's an even playing field now.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, you finish.
And I like this because I'm like a little nerd with it, so I know about the latest collections, especially when I was in the salon, I would have the latest collections, but clients might not necessarily know what I was talking about, but now they see it because of bloggers and things like that and influencers. Now they want to know, you know, that Chanel blue. They already know it coming to you asking for it versus you have to
introduce it,
try to persuade them to do it.
Right.
So I do like what that has done.
And I think that's the same with the makeup industry because we've been saying, you know, we've said the same things about the makeup industry and how basically the same thing you said at first, it was kind of, you know, all over the place and people were looking to them for information versus not asking the pro, you know, to give
give their top five, whatever, or, you know, give their tips or what have you. But I think, like you said, now it's kind of evening out a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it also comes for the pro. I think also for the pro, it's kind of making us, you know, wait a minute, we can do it for ourselves and establish a more professional, like, I'm the pro. You get what I mean? Kind of makes us up it a bit.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned that at one time you were a salon owner. What inspired you to open a salon, and then how did you make that? Well, when you owned the salon, were you also freelancing at the same time?
On the salon, I think I went through maybe about three different salon settings. So it wasn't until what happened? I think I got a little bored doing salon work, but I would come to New York to do Fashion Week. And I really enjoyed that. And then I had an opportunity to, like, do an editorial while I was here doing it. And I really enjoyed that. So probably towards that last year and a half of the lease, I kept getting these opportunities to freelance. So I said to myself, why not? Mm-hmm. If the opportunities were going to keep coming to me, I felt like I kind of owed it to give it a shot. So it was just a progression. Nothing I said, this is what I want to do. I just saw it opening up, and I did enjoy it, and I just wanted to see what I can do.
Right. So and then did you decide to close it, or was it when you moved to New York when you decided to close it?
I really was going to try to keep it going on. I tried to see if I can get people to work in there, but it wasn't working out. And then now that I think about it, I'm kind of glad, because I would have never wanted to be in the position where I was up here and wanted to worry about what was going on back there. When I left and locked the door was locked. So,
Right. Oh, God,
what was your question? I just got off the subject.
No, you're fine. I was basically wondering at what point you said, okay, this is it for the salon. Because I didn't know if you were trying to do both at the same time or if you salon and then continue with the freelancing.
Well, yeah, towards the end, the lease was coming to an end. So towards the end, I did try to see if I could do both.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't working out, so I said when the lease was over, I would give it a go. Now, probably that whole year, I had a friend that lived in Jersey, and I kind of went back and forth. All
mm-hmm.
of this is something I've never done before. I would come again. Remember, I said that the agent didn't know I did not live there.
Right.
But if they asked me, could I be there on Tuesday? I did whatever I needed to do to make it happen. So when the lease was coming to an end and the running up and down the highway was getting a little more, I just said, you know what? I worked it out where, again, another angel had me a place to stay. So even before moving to New York, the agency was there, and I had a place to stay. So it was only right that I just go forward. That's the only way I can see it.
So tell us a little bit about the class that you have coming up.
From behind the table to behind the scenes, I'm excited about it because it's for a person like me that said they want to make that transition. But you really kind of don't know what the setting is like. And there's a lot that goes into it than you just showing up on set and doing nails. It's a different type of style of nails. I mean, it's a manicure, yes, but it's abbreviated because in the salon, doing a manicure, it's for that person to pay you to leave, and it's to extend for a couple of days. For a manicure on set, it's to execute in that picture. So you look at things different. There's etiquettes that you need to know. Things, like I said, when they're styling, there's things you need to look for to perform your job better. The last thing you want to, if you've never even checked out the shoes, the last thing you want to see is they, you know, like they come to you and be like, oh, yes, here's a peep toe. And you're like, great. You thought you finished up, but you have more to do. But if there are things to look for in the beginning to help you execute your job, even when you get a call sheet, there's, for me, I'm a nerd. When I get a call sheet, I read that thing from the top to the bottom, and I research everybody on it.
Right.
Because, again, you throw a potential to another job. The hairstylist, what's the last thing they did lately? You know, and that's just another potential client. You guys gone, she gets another job, there's no manicure, she can refer you. The photographer, what's the last thing, what type of photography does he do? Did he just do a Target campaign yesterday? You know, that's the type of stuff I want to know. I want to know who's in the room. I look at the you know, a lot of times people don't even look at the model. You just look, you get on set, and it's three of them. But they're two boys and one girl, you know it's going to be pretty easy because, boys, you know, you don't have to polish.
Right.
It also can give you a little plan on, you know, how you're going to execute your job. So these little things that I learned that I wish I knew kind of like beforehand. So I just kind of put it all together and created a class about it. And even kit building. Kit building is important. That's, you know, there's a difference. You want to show range, and yet people care about what your kit looks like. You know, you might have a look, right? Your lookbook kit is way different than your celebrity. What you're going to do on a celebrity, totally different. So your kit needs to show range. Your products need to show range. You know, sometimes you might be on a bougie set. You have to have your bougie polish.
Right.
So what should you have in just in a basic kit?
Your own, you know, there's your own set of tools that you work with. For manicures, I think it really should show range in your polish selections. To know, like, creams, you don't need too much shimmer. Creams show up better in camera. You need to have a good range of neutrals, especially for different skin tones. What else? I'm big on, I don't like the certain type of cotton that I like using. I also am big on, I don't like having a lot of aroma for my guy. So I have a small little jar of this specialty lotion that I use for guys. I like to be guy friendly in my kits. They don't want to smell like citrus.
Right.
So, you know, little things like that. Having it clean. I like to, my polish, I like for the client to be able to see it. So I like to have them in clear makeup bags. I don't want to pull out six reds, but I can show you six reds all at one time.
Who are some of the manicurists out there that you would really admire?
You said who are some of them?
Uh-huh.
Julie Kandelik is one.
I couldn't
Lisa
hear you.
Logan.
What was the first name? What was the first name? I couldn't hear you.
Julie Kandelik is one.
Oh, okay.
Lisa Logan is one. I'm fortunate enough to have worked with both of these ladies and learned a lot as far as techniques. Again, etiquette. Those are the two probably that's the biggest that, and even have helped me. Exposed me to things that I probably would not have gotten on my own. And I just one day hope I can do the same for someone else. But those two resonate with me.
Okay. What did you think about the first season of Nailed It?
Oh, boy. Don't shoot me. But I didn't catch it too much.
Okay.
Because you know why? Because from what I know of reality television, I would not have wanted to see some of them that I wouldn't say I knew any of them personally. I just wouldn't have wanted to know, like, if they were, like, not nice.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I just didn't want to, I didn't even want to go down that road.
Well, to be honest, it wasn't a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. It was mainly focused on the competition. I mean, people would, there were a few that would say something that would probably get on people's nerves, but other than that, it was pretty fun. Do you ever think you could ever try to do anything like that?
Probably not. My artistic level is not of that caliber. I will be all honest to say that. I can admire it. It's not somewhat of a personal choice for me, but kudos to them. My artistic level is not that high like that.
Do you do nail designs in any of your work?
Yes. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm like, if you wanted a mural of your 3-year-old child on your nails, I can't do that.
Right, right.
I think nail art is even a wide range. I like chic looks. I like sophisticated looks. I like, you know, just a little something. And that's where that's what I'm good at. I love just plain color, too. I'm just, you know. So that's what I'm good at.
Right. Right. So you've worked as a manicurist, you know, editorial, fashion and runway. You've done covers and videos. You've worked with celebrities. Talk a little bit about the similarities in working in each of those areas.
The similarities is pretty much probably the pace, swift but thorough. I will say that is the similarities. Differences, runway is totally different. It's super fast-paced. You might be on the floor. Everything is happening at one time. Editorial, you can get a little more creative.
Mm-hmm.
With editorial, can go left or right, depending on what the editorial is. So it can be creative or it can just be clean, single color. Celebrity, I always say you need to find your match with celebrity because I think people's celebrity differs. It depends on what a celebrity is to you. You know, like Soledad O'Brien is a celebrity to me.
Right.
So maybe, like, let's just take, for instance, like your TV reality stars. Like, that's not necessarily a celebrity for me. So, I would want the celebrity to match kind of what I do.
Gotcha.
I
see what you're saying.
That's pretty much it. I mean, because even if you do have a celebrity, what are you doing them for? Is it something for PR? Is it for an editorial?
Right.
So it could be, you know, different.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And your approach to doing nails in these different mediums are all the same? I know you mentioned, you know, everything has to be swift but thorough, but your approach to doing nails, like, you know, like if you're working on an editorial shoot, versus that you're doing New York Fashion Week. You know, you said you could be a little bit more creative and editorial, but I know during Fashion Week it's all about what was designed for the show. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is your approach different? Is your approach different when you go in to do those nails for editorial than when you're working on a video or you're working on a, you know, with a celebrity? Or is it pretty much the same? You come in and you have a certain thing that you do to everybody no matter what the job is. And I'm saying that because, you know, for instance, if I were doing makeup on a television show and you know, someone's going to be, let's say, it's going to be a scene where they're going to cry, you know, versus if I'm doing an actress who's just going to be on camera, they have two lines and they're going to be on and off, something a little different to that particular actor in that scene versus if they're going to be crying, I'm sure I'm going to put on, you know, waterproof mascara. You know, I'm going to be paying attention to certain things. So I'm just trying to figure out, is your approach pretty much the same in all of those different mediums, or is there any time when it's different?
No, I guess, yes, the approach would be different. So let's say it's an editorial, especially if it's going to be beauty. Mm-hmm. The nails need to be a little flawless because if the camera's going to be close up, she has her hands in her face, if that's a part
right.
of the beauty, it needs to be pretty meticulous. You know, around the cuticle area needs to be super clean. Even if you take your hand and look down your nail, you want to make sure if you had red, you want to make sure the red is on the tip. A lot of people will polish this on the top and don't kind of like cap off edge, if you will.
The edge, right.
Right. So if it's like editorial and it's beauty, yes, you need to be flawless. Also, you don't necessarily want to use cuticle oil when she gets on camera because she doesn't need to look like she just dipped in grease, you know?
She needs
to look moisturized, but she doesn't need to look greasy. Now, yes, that celebrity that's about to walk that red carpet, she needs to glisten. So that approach would be different. And then a lot of times in editorial, nails is not the focus. You're just the complement.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have to be you paint what you paint. I'm still meticulous at painting, but I'm going to take extra time and use, like, I'll start whipping out my makeup brushes if it's going to be tight beauty and her hands are going to be up in her face or there's going to be a nail focus. I need to clean up as much as I can. You know, nails need to be, you know, even. So,
right.
Yeah, they have different approaches for different settings.
Right. Yeah, that was good information. Let's talk about nails for the spring. What
mm-hmm.
what should we look for? What's going to be new in color and what's new? What's the new look?
I think for spring, coral is going to be out there. I like coral. I think coral is a good transition color from winter to spring.
Right.
But it's like kind of like a prelude to summer. So it's bright, but it's not, it doesn't pop. Because like coral is like a mix of like orange and pink and red. So it's still warm, but it's still vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing coral a lot, even down to like packaging of products. I'm seeing coral. I think the negative space is going to continue.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think with some, we still want, I think for some, the thing with nail art, I think it's toning down a bit, but it won't go anywhere.
Right.
So you want a little something, but you still need to rock it during the day. So I think the negative space thing is going to continue for a while. I'm leaning towards mint green. I have a feeling mint green is going to show up. And I'm liking, what else am I liking these days? I think the neutrals are going to go a little more sheer.
And what about blue?
Well, blue is always good, but it's probably, I mean, pastels always make the comeback for spring, so... I still think maybe it'll be a little more green blue.
Okay. And what's going to be the popular nail shape?
It's always a hard question for me to say because I think it's so personal now. Because even I go through about when I put some extensions on, I put some gel extensions on for like a month because that's just how I'm feeling. So I always like an almond shape. I don't think that's going anywhere for a while. But I really think the short straight across, not squared, just straight across with some rounded edges. I always think that can just rock any color.
Right.
So for an extension, I think almond isn't going anywhere. That'll stay. But for natural nails, no extensions. I think just straight across and kind of rounded on the sides.
So is there anything that you haven't done in your career that you'd like to do?
Say it again, is there anything that I have not done that I want to do?
Yeah, in your career.
Wow. I have to think about that one. I don't know. I think I'm still just trying to play around with different extensions. You know, like I've educated for a company before. I'm not sure if I've gone that route anymore. So, but I am liking the idea of educating. I do enjoy that. So I think I'm into that right now. Other than that, I really haven't thought about it past that point.
What do you think about, I know with barbering and hairstyling, it's come up a lot, but what do you think about the whole deregulation situation where some states have tried to take away the cosmetology license? What do you think about that in terms of nails?
Yeah, cosmetology, nails, barbering, all of those licenses.
Terrible. I really think it's terrible. But I don't think that's a good idea. But I will say this, and this is just what I always felt, but at the same time, if I'm to hold a license, I think these boards should also advocate for going to a professional.
Right.
Now, I have not seen that in all the years of me holding a license in either state. So it's just going to get willy-nilly if you just deregulated, if you will, but at the same time, if you're going to do it, you need to advocate for going to a professional.
How do you think it will affect education? Do you think people would stop taking, people would stop going to schools because now they don't need a license? You know, for those people who, I mean, the average person knows how to polish their nails, but not to say that they're great at it, but the average person knows how to polish their nails. You know, there's some people who are just good at doing things, like they're great at makeup, they're great at hair, and they're great at doing nails, and they don't have license. They've never been to a school. So if they deregulate in, you know, the various states, how do you think it will affect education? Do you think there will be people who will just stop because now they don't have to have a license? Or do you think because of the fact that there is no license, and then now they're like, okay, so if there's no license, you know, how am I going to get the knowledge that I need? Do you think it'll increase education or not?
I think people will not look for education, but then it's just going to be like a domino effect. There'll be people that will not look for education, and then clients are going to start seeing the effects of that. And then, you know, a lot of this is beyond just us holding a license and getting education. I mean, in order for you to, what are you doing this for? If you're making a career out of it, making a brand out of what you're doing, or making a business out of what you're doing, you have to educate yourself. You have to educate yourself in all aspects.
Right.
But, if they deregulate it, it's like I said, it's just going to get funky. People are just thinking, well, I don't need to do that. But then, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. They're gonna have a set type of clientele.
That's,
you know,
true.
What I mean? So that's just like I always tell people, you know, well, what about in my industry they call them the chop shops? I never felt like that was my competition ever, because the people that's going in those chop shops, I probably don't want them as a client, so they can keep them. I don't feel like it affects me one way, because I perform this way, I educate myself this way, and that's what I'm going to attract. It's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't happen.
So everyone has to get out there, and if it's mentioned for your state, everyone has to get out there and kind of fight it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't heard a lot lately, but it's definitely something to pay attention to.
Definitely. Yes, I agree.
Is there anything about the nail industry that you would change or would like to see take place in the industry?
In the nail industry, I would like to there could be a couple of things. What would I like to see change? I have to think about that. People educating their clients more, being more vocal about products. Like, take for instance, mm-hmm. like gel polish.
Mm-hmm.
The professional, those things should be said coming from the professional. I wish people would be more vocal in educating their clients so clients wouldn't go out here and spread the bad word. I would like to see that happen more. I would like to see more education not be so regional. Like I always heard, even when I was in school, I always heard people say, you know, up or down the East Coast, they could not find classes, but you could always find stuff out West.
Mm-hmm.
Which things wouldn't be so regional. That's all I can think of right now.
Why do you think it was that way? A lot of the classes were out West.
I really don't know. It might have something to do with, like, take for instance, Virginia, you don't need continuing education hours. I know
gotcha.
In New York you don't need continuing education hours. I know in North Carolina that you do. So it might be
right.
Maybe out West you need more continuing education hours. But, I mean, I'm strong. I personally think manicures should have continuing education hours.
I agree with that.
So that might be the reason.
And there are a lot of product brands that are out there as well for the nail industry. And I don't know if
mm-hmm.
that's the reason why, you know. See, you know, with the different trade shows that's out there that's across the country that feature manicurists and nail polish brands and nail other nail brands. You know, you have IBS in New York. You have Premier in Orlando
mm-hmm.
and in Alabama. So you get a chance to, you know, have some of these shows on this side of the country that features a lot of education. So it may not be, you know, a school, or it may not be a class where you go, or, you know, a situation like the class that you're giving, you know, a couple of hours. It may not be mm-hmm. something like that, but it is an opportunity to go sit in, you know, and learn.
Yeah, and people, and a lot of things start at the school level, too.
Mm-hmm.
If the students knew how much there was that was out there, you'd have to really take it upon yourself to go further. You know, what everybody says. When you don't learn too much in school, probably not, but you also got to go try to find it yourself. That was a pivotal
Absolutely.
Point in my career. I went to Premier for the first time by myself, completely by myself. It was, I can't remember how I found out about it, but I did not find out about it in school. To backtrack,
right.
That's probably something that in my nail industry, which if somebody's going to make the investment, because that's an investment. This is nothing that you, well, now they can, but not so much back in the day. But this is an investment to go to school. This is what you choose to do. And I wish they were educated better, if I said that right, in school, knew all the things that were out there for them to learn more about their industry. So I went
right.
to Premier, and it was like I had seen things that I had never seen before, and that was inspirational to see, like, a manufacturer and have this big booth, and they're talking about the products I had never even seen on shelves before because they're not in my local distributor. That was inspirational.
Right. Absolutely. And I feel like that's what those shows are for. Or at least that's what I get out of it. I like to attend those shows get education, to learn about new products, but also to be inspired.
Yeah. You kind of fall in love with it all over again when you
absolutely like you need. You really need that to just fall in love with it all over, like you're just getting into it all over again, because that's what keeps you going. So you need to be inspired and motivated to keep going. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
What is beauty to you?
Say it again. What is
beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? What is beauty to me? Looking at yourself in the mirror and being happy at what you see. That's beauty. Being kind is beauty. Being appreciative, saying thank you, all that is beauty, but looking in the mirror and accepting what you see is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Listen, that's beautiful. I think what we do as artists is beautiful, especially when you touch people, makeup artists, manicurists, hairstylists. Making somebody else feel good is beautiful. If people that don't, like, the power of touch is, like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is awesome. Nobody comes to me angry, the power of touch is just awesome. And it amazes me. I hold hands with people. That's kind of beautiful.
You know, sometimes I don't think artists realize how powerful that is. I think it would change your outlook and your perspective on what you do if people realize how powerful touch really is.
Yeah, there could be, like, I'll never forget in the salon, there was one client, she always came in. I figured she liked what I did because she was a repeated client. But, she didn't talk too much. But after maybe the third or fourth time of holding hands, I knew everything. you don't really realize it. And, like, there was two clients. I remember when her granddaughter was just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I see her on Facebook, the granddaughter is like six. And like you're a part of these people's lives. You do something for them. That's beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely. So shout out all of your your blog, your website, all of your social media sites. Let everybody know how they can find you and follow you.
Okay, I am Angel Nails It across Instagram, Twitter. I have a blog, angelnailsit.com. That's also where you can find information about the class. I talk about nail care, nail trends. And my portfolio, my professional website is angelwilliamsmanicurist.com. I cover them all.
And your Angel Nails It on everything else.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's pretty easy. That's pretty easy. Well, thank you so much, Angel. I really appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll definitely be following you and keeping in touch for sure.
All right, no problem.
And one more time, tell the date and times and, any information about your class.
Okay, it's editorial. It's an editorial manicuring seminar from behind the table to behind the scenes. It is May 17th from 11 to 2 here in NYC and M. Wilds, that's WILDS studio. More information or link to paying for the class is on angelnailsit.com. I'm excited about it, I think. And what I'm really excited about it is a lot of my product partners. I got great product partners that agree with the class, believe in the class, and I would love to share that, get the attendee kits building going on.
Cool. Can you share who some of them are?
On the call, I have Morgan Taylor, Tweezerman. I'm waiting on two more. Who else I have? That's all I'm going to say now.
Okay.
Because I start rolling them out next week.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I'm glad that you have first, you know, your kit building portion of the class. So it should be a very exciting class.
Yeah, I think so.
Very exciting class. Well, we'll continue to announce the class here on Beauty Talk. I've already posted information on the Beauty Talk online page on Facebook. And I'll keep posting on some of our other social media sites as well, on Instagram and things like that. So get the word out for you.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, again, thank you for joining us tonight. Let's see. Denise, you got anything else you want to say?
Just follow us on Twitter. We're beauty_talk. And on Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media. And on Facebook, we're Beauty Talk Online Radio.
All right. So, again, thank you all for tuning in and listening to us tonight. Next Sunday, we'll do it all over again at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, in the meantime, thank you again for your support. And have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.